Begin Porticore imprint. I thought the worst thing I'd done was tell the truth. I was wrong. The worst thing I did was believe truth would save us. Welcome to Anturia Diaries Prequel Stories, Season 1, Episode 6, The Summoning. This series contains mature themes and is intended for adult listeners. The noise never faded. By morning, violence had become ordinary. Shouting in the streets, strange explosion sounds. Malaid's broadcasts clashed with desperate messages coming from what Anturians were left in Tukduran. I walked through the streets of Tethia that I no longer recognized. I saw groups of humans clustered together in side roads or peeking out from behind doorways. I saw our militia and guards, as well as some vigilante Anturian groups, marching through the streets with weapons visible as I passed through the various neighborhoods. A few doors on severely damaged houses had strange markings. I wasn't sure if they were human-made markings or Anturian. I looked up as I heard someone a few streets over yell, "They're gathering in Market Square!" followed by the sound of many running feet heading that way. I passed by the gardening shop that I had taken Athanon to not so long ago, and the window was broken. A group of humans was inside, grabbing gardening supplies and evaluating them as if they were weapons. They paused to look up at me as I passed, but did not think to assault me even as they watched me warily. Their eyes were haunted. I jumped in surprise as someone grabbed my arm from the other side and saw the woman who owned the store looking at me angrily. "You did this! Everything is ruined because of you!" I started to try to break free from her grasp and respond when Dalthea appeared between the shop owner and me, pried the woman's hands from my arm, and ushered me further down the street. Her own knives were strapped visibly around her waist, letting them all know she was prepared. The shop owner yelled back at me, "Fix it!" Dalthea stepped close to me and whispered, "It's obviously not contained, but spreading." "How fast?" I asked her, wanting to understand the scope. 3 neighborhoods down by early this morning," she answered and moved me along the street a little faster. As we moved toward the council hall, we received yet another public broadcast, this one from Malaid and Murathir. Dalthea and I stayed vigilant to our surroundings as we walked and listened. "Extremists have exploited recent events. Radicalized humans are spreading false narratives. No single counselor speaks for the entire council. We are declaring temporary emergency authority over all communities. We have sunset curfews effective immediately. We are gathering up and detaining all humans for their safety and protection. Public broadcasts now require majority council approval before being sent." Murathir's voice followed. "The councillors support Malaid's decisive and purposeful leadership in this crisis." At this moment, we ran across a nervous Oswald in the streets, looking like he was running for his life. He seemed relieved to see us and fell in step with us as we walked. "She's positioning you as the enemy," he told me once they joined us. "I know." Malaid's voice returned to finish the broadcast. "Citizens are advised to report any suspicious activity, particularly a reckless communication that destabilizes public order." Well, that would be me then. We walked in silence for a moment, and then Oswald said, "Can you help me get in to see Elion? I want to make sure he's okay." "Sure, we can stop by the detainment center before the council hall." We got into the main office, and I asked for an audience with Elion. The guards looked at me, and without missing a beat said, "Emergency council order. No unauthorized visits." I lifted an eyebrow at the guard. "I am still a sitting counselor." He looked uncomfortable and shifted slightly in his stance. "Yes, the order was specific," he replied. I knew what that meant, too, and Dalthea and I exchanged a look. I turned to Oswald. "Let's go to the office, and I will see what I can do." Later, I obtained Oswald's permission to visit Elion. He went there while Dalphia and I sat in my office going over notes and talking. He came back and joined us about a half an hour later. "How did it go?" I asked him when he came back into my office and closed the door behind him. Elian was healing, but they said he was refusing to name Sirialaf's attacker. I asked if he was protecting him, and he said that the attacker was afraid. All humans were afraid. If he names the attacker, he names them all. Oswald looked down defeated. "I don't think this will end with containment," he whispered. Dalphia stood up and rested her hands on the hilts of her blades at either side of her. "I'm with you, Bryn, whatever comes our way." Oswald looked up. "I cannot fight, but I am with you too, Bryn." I exhaled deeply. "You both should stay neutral. Malaith might," Dalphia interrupted me, "do anything worse to our world than what's already happened?" "I've never been neutral." Oswald nodded in agreement, though less confident in appearance than Dalphia. A knock at the door interrupted us, and Dalphia, with one hand on the hilt, slowly opened it with the other, revealing Tinnerath standing there looking worried down the hallway and back to the office. Dalphia let her step in, but kept a close eye on her as she approached. "Bryn, you should leave Tithia. Tonight." I leaned back in my chair at my desk and lifted my hands into the air. "And go where?" She looked back at the door and then back to me. "Anywhere that isn't here when the guards come for you. They're gathering in Market Square now as a show of solidarity. Use this time to make your plans," she urged me, and then she slipped out of my office and down the hall. "A council gathering in a square without us?" Dalphia smirked. "Maybe we should go listen," I added, standing up. "Stay here, Oswald. Don't let anyone in unless it's us." Dalphia and I put on cloaks. It was raining lightly now, so we would not look suspicious milling out in the square with our hoods up. We got into the square, and sure enough, the council, or at least those that side with Malaith, were all gathered there, surrounded by guards, fully armed. To her right, instead of me, stood Murathir, followed by Tinnereth, who looked like she wished she was anywhere else. Malaith was waving Councillor Hinfid up to the front, who smiled and waved to the Anturians gathered. "In this time of crisis, I come here from Chepduran to stand with Malaith. We need strength, not debate," Dalphia whispered. Funny, Hinfid didn't mention Chepduran burned. Tinnereth's eyes found me suddenly and then lowered to the ground. She knew that truth too, and she stayed silent. We went back for Oswald, and Dalphia and I walked him home before parting ways to our own homes. Pensayer was cooking dinner for us, and Afanin was curled up on my lap with my arms around her as I sat on the couch. Afanin asked, "Why are the neighbors shouting?" Pensayer answered, "They're upset, but it will settle." Afanin tilted her head slightly. "Are we safe?" She fingered the necklace that Kyla made for her. My eyes met Pensier's for a moment, and I swallowed hard and said, "Yes." Afanin grasped her little fingers around the pendant of the necklace a little tighter. After a few moments, Afanin left to go get a book from her room. Pensier asked, "Should we leave?" "No, not yet. If I leave, she wins." She stared at me a moment. "And if we stay?" I didn't have an answer. After dinner, Pensier was putting Afanin to bed when someone knocked on my door. I, like Dalphia, went around armed these days, but not quite as audacious about it as Dalphia. My knives were hidden in my clothes. I slipped my hand into my sleeve to grab the hilt as I scanned through the screen at my door to see who was on the other side. It was Kyla, so I opened the door. Kyla was out of breath. "I need to talk to you, Bryn." "It's after curfew, Kyla, if they catch you." "I know, I was careful," she said, looking behind her. I disarmed the door, opened it just enough to let her slip inside, then re-engaged the locks. She was all wet from the rain still falling outside. "Malaith is calling an emergency peace council meeting tomorrow. She's framing it as reconciliation with you." I saw the hard look in her violet eyes. "And you think it's a trap?" "I know it's a trap. She's consolidating all the guards and neighborhood militia. Loyalists only. She's preparing for something big," she informed me. "How do you know this?" I asked. "I listen, I watch, I move through places people don't expect me to be." "You're good at this." I must be. Look, don't go to that meeting, Bryn, she urged me. If I don't go, who does? If you go, there might not be anyone left to stand up for what's right, Bryn. I know. The next morning, Dalvia and Oswald both joined me for breakfast when the Portacore broadcast arrived. You are invited to an emergency peace council meeting. Unity and reconciliation are in the interest of public safety. Please join us. We all stared at each other after receiving the invitation. Let's not go, Bryn, begged Oswald. If we don't, I started. She may call us cowards, but we'll still be alive, he added nervously. You, me, Dalvia, anyone who stood with us, will be branded as conspirators, arrested, or worse, I responded. Dalvia stood up and patted her knives. I'm definitely going with you. Maybe the two of you should stay here, I suggested. But Dalvia was shaking her head no before I even finished the suggestion. Not negotiable. Oswald swallowed. I'm going too, then. If the council ends today, it won't be because we hid. The night before, I asked Kyla to bring her family to our house. I knew I wouldn't be there the next day. Someone needed to be. Once she arrived with her family, Dalvia, Oswald, and I walked out of my house and down the street to the council hall. In the halls, there were no clerks, no scribes, no messengers. The three of us walked, Dalvia at my side and Oswald slightly trailing, until we got to the main chamber's wooden doors. The guards opened them for us upon our arrival, and the doors made an echoing sound in the quiet chamber on the other side. I heard murmurs from the counselors gathered there and saw many hands going into sleeves or pockets as if they were also armed. Some looked at us with disdain, others with pride, but most looked tense and nervous. I might not walk out. I went anyway. End Portacore imprint.